Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Lamed Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the top of daf Lamed Zayin. Truth be told, we are in the middle of a discussion, and you can see this through the inverted triangle that appears on that line, and a number 2 that also appears in the immediate space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. What we are involved with, for those who did not learn in our previous staff, we are trying to define the expression lo yitain that appears in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, the focus was on an oven that was fired up with different types of materials. The second grouping of materials was gefes ve'etzim, that was in the, on the second line on lamed of the Mishnah on lamed vav amid beis, and the Mishnah said lo yitain at shigruf or at shitain sefer. If it was fired up with the residue or the debris left over from a sesame oil processing, where the solid, where the shells of the sesame seeds remain, that serves as a fuel, that's the gefes, and etzim is wood. So the Mishnah says that you cannot yitain, lo yitain, and that until you push aside or cover the coals with ash. And what's not clear to the Gemara, and that's what we're trying to figure out, what does the expression lo yitain mean? So in our previous year, we developed a marking scheme where the triangles that were positioned with the point facing up would be in the direction of saying that lo yitain means lo yisheh, that even for leaving a pot of food on the fire, you would have to do the grufo ktuma process if it was fired up with gefes ube'etzim. If the triangle appears inverted, so that's in the direction of saying that only for hachzora, for the allowance of returning a pot that was removed from the fire, to return it, to put it back on the stove, you would need to have done grufer tuma. However, for leaving a pot there, leaving it from the beginning of Shabbos, from Friday through Shabbos on the fire, you wouldn't have to do anything. The problem with putting a pot back on the fire on Shabbos, there is an impression that's called, it's called merci kimavash, it looks like you are cooking something up. So in order to circumvent that appearance, we say you would have to do grufa utuma. Anyway, at this point in the Gemara, you see toshma, we're trying to prove now that the Mishnah would be best understood if it was that the grufa utuma, or the expression lo yitain, is do not machzir, don't put it back unless you did gufuk tuma, which is a version that would be in tune with the opinion of Hananya that we saw on during our last shiur. So now let's begin the Gemara. Toshma, the Omar Rabbi Chelvo, Omar Rab Chamo Bar Guya, Omar Rav. So Rabbi Chelvo teaches, lo yishonu elo al gabo. The allowance that the Mishnah provides for is only with regard to putting to a pot being on the top of the kira. Aval l'soicha osur, but as far as within the kira we might as well say is a type of box shaped vessel structure that has in the bottom of it coals. It has a place to put pots on the top. And here we're introducing the possibility of putting a pot in the interior of the kira. So the allowance of the Mishnah is in so far as on top of, but as far as within, there is no allowance. Now, we're not explaining what we mean by the term allowance. That is what the Gemara deals with. If you say that the issue is the return of a pot that was removed from the fire, and now it's an issue of putting it back on, So then it would make sense, this teaching of Rabbi Chelbo, Hainu Deshoni Bein Toicho Le'al Gabo. Then there is room for making a distinction that if you are leaving something in the oven, so Rashi says, Hainu Deshoni Bein Toicho Le'al Gabo, Dechimashi Le'Tocho, if you do Shehia, the leaving of a pot in the inside of it, you are doing hatmona, which is a case of insulating a pot within coals, so that you would be doing an action of hatmona on Shabbos. You'd be inserting the pot into the interior of the kiwa, basically into the interior of the coals that are there. That's hatmona, and the act of hatmona, of insulating a pot, surrounding a pot with a heat-preserving substance, is something forbidden to do on Shabbos. So, therefore, betocha, one would not be allowed to put it back in there, and al-gabo would be okay if you did grufa k'tuma. Elo'i amris lishois tanan, if you say, however, the issue was just leaving a pot in there, shihiya, leaving it, as opposed to putting it back. So then, ma li tocha ma li al gabo. Why make any distinction between leaving it inside the oven or leaving it on top of the oven? After all, leaving it inside, if you're calling that hatmona, we are allowed to do hatmona from Erev Shabbos. So you can leave things insulated from Erev Shabbos. So what difference does it make if you're leaving it inside the oven or you're leaving it on the top? So you have we have right now a teaching of Rav Chelbo, who quotes Rav, who says that who makes a distinction between on top of and within the interior. That distinction would make sense if you're dealing with hachzora. As we said, hachzora in the interior would be an act that's prohibited on Shabbos. That's the act of hatmona. Whereas on top of, there's no hatmona. However, if you're dealing with leaving it, so why would he make any distinction? So, at this point in the Gemara, the triangle with its point facing down had been in the direction of saying things would work best for the opinion that says that the lo yitain of the Mishnah means don't machzir until you do grufa or tuma. But as far as shehiyah is concerned, there would be no need for that. The Gemara now rejects it. And that's why we have the triangle repositions itself with the point facing up. Mi savris Rabbi Chelbo areisha koi. Who is to say that Rabbi Chelbo's point is addressing the beginning of the Mishnah where we had to deal with defining lo yitain? He's not addressing that at all. Aseifo koi. Rabbi Chelbo's din is focused on the end of the Mishnah where it was clear, where it's beferish, where it's explicit. Explicitly dealing with the inyan, with the issue of hachzora, and what does it say in the Seifa? Well, Beis Hillel Oimrim af machzirin. Beis Hillel, who argues with Beis Shammai, says we allow putting pots back on fires on Shabbos. The Omar Rabbi Chelbo Omar Rav Chamo Bar Guya Marav Lo Shanu, the heter of Beis Hillel Elo al Gabo. That's only if you're talking about putting something back onto the surface of the kira, onto the top of the kira, avol l'tocha osur. But as far as putting it within the interior of the kira, that would not be allowed on Shabbos, because, as we said, that would be an act of hatmona. However, to make things very clear, what we've done is we've derailed the attempt to use Rabbi Chelbo as proof for defining the term lo yitain of the resha, and repositioned Rabbi Chelbo, or refocused Rabbi Chelbo, as explaining Beis Hillel. But as far as lo yitain, that remains still undecided. So we continue in the Gemara. This is stage 3 in trying to bring proofs, and hence we have a triangle with a number 3 in its immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and the Gemara continues with a ta shma. Let's try to prove, and the positioning of the triangle gives away, of course, what the direction we are going to be taking. And that is, we're going to say the Mishnah would make most sense if we would read lo yitain as lo lishois, that even for shehiyah, you would have to do Gruf of Tumah. Let's also point out that the Toshma, this attempted proof, lasts quite a number of lines, and that's indicated by the long marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the Toshma, that's abbreviated with a descending vertical dash line. All of this is part of this a particular attempt. At the end of this, though, you can see with the markings that there's an inverted triangle, once again, that dismissing the approach that we're about to take. So we open up Toshma, and there's a Tanaic source that lasts a number of lines. You can see it's all in a frame. Shnei kirois hamatimois. Here you have a case of two kiros that are connected one to the other, and there is a clay wall between the two of them. So you have to imagine that, as we just said, two of these coal containers where people put pots, generally speaking, on the top of them. Now, two of them, these two kiros, are attached one to the other with a clay wall separating them. Achas grufo k'tuma v'achas she'ena grufo k'tuma. One of the kiros had been treated with the grufo k'tuma, the coals being grufo pushed aside or covered with ash, and the other one left untouched. Mashin al gabi grufo k'tuma v'ein mashin al she'ena grufo v'ein k'tuma. You are allowed to leave pots on the surface of the kiro that had been treated, but not allowed to leave them directly on top of the one that was not treated grufo k'tuma. Umo hein mashin. When we speak about that, you're allowed to leave things on. So what are you allowed to leave on? Beishamai yomrim v'lo klum. Nothing. Beishamai just doesn't hold from leaving anything on. Ubeisil omrim chamin avoloi tafshil. Beisil says hot water you can leave, but not pots of food. Okar, if you remove the pot from the fire on Shabbos, in this case, let's say you remove the hot water, divrei hakol lo yachzir. Even Beisil will agree you cannot put something back on the fire. On the stove top, divrei Rebbe Meir. That's Shitas Rebbe Meir, who's very, you can see, is very restrictive. We continue with the next opinion, that of Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, and before actually we learn, go on in the source, I would imagine that most of you would agree that the Reisha, that is Rebbe Meir, does not correspond to things we have learned already, i.e. the Mishnah. You see, in this Rebbe Meir presentation, Beis Hillel giving no allowance, even Beis Hillel, no one allows Hachzorah. In our Mishnah, we saw Rebbe Beis Hillel, at the end of the Mishnah, we saw Beis Hillel allowing for Hachzorah. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, we continue in the source, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Beishamai Omrim Chamin Avalo Tafshil. Rebbe Yehuda is more lenient, and he says that Beishamai will agree that you can do Shehiyah, you can leave hot water on, but not cooked foods. Beishamai Omrim Chamin U Tafshil. Not only hot water, but you're allowed to leave on the top of the Grufo K'tuma even food. Beishamai Omrim Not Linavo Lo Machzirin. Beishamai says, you can remove, but you can't put things back on. Ubeisil omrim af machzir. And Beisil says, we will allow hachzora. This presentation, namely that of Rebbe Yehuda, at least echoes our Mishnah, and that you can see by the fact that Beis Hillel, according to Rebbe Yehuda, makes an allowance for hachzora. E amris bishlamo lishois tnan. If you say that our Mishnah is read, lo yitei, meaning you can't leave on unless you do grufuk tuma. Masnisin money. So our Mishnah, we would then have a name to assign to the beginning of our Mishnah, or to our Mishnah as money. It's Rebbe Yehuda he. Our Mishnah would then be according to Rebbe Yehuda. Before we go on, let's glance at Rashi. I amris bishlama. Rashi, you'll see, is abbreviated. There's an Aleph Bey's abbreviation in the upper half of the Rashi commentary. And Rashi reads, Yamris Bishlamo Reisha de Masnisen Lishois Komar Deboy Grufa. that the Mishnah in the Reisha says that even for simply leaving a pot on, you have to do the grufa process. Ubelishois pligi, bechamin ubetavshia ubegoruf, and the machloikis has to do, the machloikis in the Mishnah has to do with shihia. What are you allowed to do shihia on? And it is goruf. It's goruf for shihia. The seifa pligi b'chazora, and the seifa, the argument concerned, the argument that we saw between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai concerns chazora. Masnisin Rabbi Yudahi. Our Mishnah then would be in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Once again, the Reisha of the Mishnah is saying lo yitain, that you can't leave things on unless you did grufa tuma. But if you did grufa tuma, so you can leave things on it, then that would be like Rabbi Yehuda that we saw in this Tanaic source. Now we continue in the Gemara where we squiggle underline elo e amris. But if you say lahachsir tanan, that our Mishnah is saying that you need to do the grufa or the tuma for hachzora, but for shihia you don't have to do anything. You can leave pots on the fire without having dealt with the coals at all, masnis and money, then our Mishnah will be in accordance with whom? Lo Rebbe Huda, velo Rebbe Meir. It won't conform to Rebbe Huda, nor according to Rebbe Meir. E Rebbe Meir, kashya lebeis Shammai b'chada, ulebeis Hillel b'tarti. If you would try to set up our Mishnah in accordance with Rebbe Meir, so you'll run into problems with regard to Beis Shammai in our Mishnah and Rebbe Meir's approach on one score, and with regard to our Mishnah and Rebbe Meir's approach to Beis Hillel on two scores. E Rebbe Yehuda, kashya grufa uktuma. And if you try to set up if as we said, we set up our Mishnah as lo yitain, meaning hachzora, that the whole purpose of grufa uktuma is for chazora, but for shiur you don't have to do anything. Well then, kashya grufa uktuma. In order to appreciate the last four lines of the Gemara, Rashi explains it in great detail. And let us go through the Rashi to appreciate why, if you say our mission of lo yitain means you can't be machzir, but for shiur you don't have to do anything, we will not have any author that we can associate or ascribe to our Mishnah. Now the Rashi. We glance at the Rashi where we left off before. Kashya lebeis Hillel b'chado. Actually, before that, let's go back to the Rashi. At the beginning of the line in our marked Gemaras, you will see the word Elo is squiggle underlined, and we pick up from there. Elo e amris lahachzir tanan. If you say that our Mishnah of lo yitain means lo yachzir, deboi grufa, you need for hachzora, you need the scraping out of the coals. Avolishois lo boi grufa, but for shihia, for leaving things, you don't need any coal treatment. Uplukta dechamin v'tavshil, and the machloikis regarding the hot water and the food is kishe'eno goruf, when the oven is not scraped out, kide mechasris umitartis law, as we try to do at the top of this page. You'll notice at the top of the Aflamet Zion, this was learned at the end of our previous shiur, the top line says that you could read the Mishnah as lahachsir, but the chisuri mechzer v'achid ketoni, you'll have to take out, you'll have to add words to the Mishnah in order to understand it. Well then, we will now have a problem. And now Rashi lays out the problem as we saw in the Gemara already. Kashya lebeis Shammai b'chado. If you learn that our Mishnah is saying that you need to do grufa tuma only for chazora, but for shiur you don't have to do anything, so our Mishnah cannot be like Rebbe Meir And it, because the Mishnah would run against Beis Shammai on one score, the Ko'amri Beis Shammai b'mas nisin mashin chamin. Now, we should point out that what we are, when we refer to the Mishnah, we're referring to the way the Gemara dealt with the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, where, as we said, the Mishnah would have to be read as it's presented in the frame at the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, right above on in our Gemara. So if you're going to say that our Mishnah is learned as Lo Yitain, meaning that Grufa Ketuma is needed for Hachzora, well, it can't be like Rebbe Meir's version of Beis Shammai on one score on regarding because on one score with regard to Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai in the Mishnah says Mashin Chamin Af B'She'eno Goruf. Our Mishnah would have said that as far as Chamin is concerned, you could leave hot water even if it's not Goruf Ukotum. The Hochakoma Rebbe Meir, the Beis Shammai, and here Rebbe Meir is saying, according to Beis Shammai, Dafilu Goruf Velo Klum, that even if it has been treated, you can't leave anything on. The Kol Sheken K'She'eino Goruf. V'ho Kulo Chado Pirchahi. Rashi points out that when the Gemara says Kashin Beisil B'chado, this is one general point of question. The Beis Shammai lo shoni lehu bein goruf l'she'enu goruf. When we say it's kashu beisil b'chada, it's one question across the boards whether it's the oven is goruf or not goruf. Beis Shammai, according to Rebbe Meir, doesn't allow any shiha, and our Mishnah's version of Beis Shammai allows shiha when it comes to chamin, even if it's not goruf ukotum. Continuing in the Rashi, Ulebeis Hillel Betarti, if you try to set our Mishnah up according to Rebbe Meir, you'll then run into a double problem when it comes to Rebbe Meir's version of Beis Hillel and that which our Mishnah says. Dibimas Nisan, Shori Beis Hillel, Lishois Chamin V'Tavshil Af V'Sheinu Goruf. According to our Mishnah, Beis Hillel allows Shihiyah even without Grufa Tuma. And Rabbi Meir's version of Beis Hillel says that for Shihia and its Goruf, the only thing Beis Hillel will allow is hot water and not a Tavshil. U'b'she'enu Goruf ain mashin klal. And if it's not been Goruf, according to Rabbi Meir's version of Beis Hillel, no Shihia is allowed whatsoever. Uleinyan Chazora, Begorof Tnan, regarding Chazora, putting things back on the oven, if it's Gorof, Tnan Bimasnis, and the Beis Hillel Machzirin. Beis Hillel's version of, in our mission, is you're allowed to do Achzora. Vocha Kotoni, Okar Divya Koloi Achzirin. Rabbi Meir's version of Beis Hillel is that if something was removed from the fire, even Beis Hillel will say you cannot be Machzir. So there's no way that our Mishnah could conform to Rebbe Meir's approach to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai whatsoever. V. Rebbe Yehuda, if you would try to ascribe our Mishnah to Rebbe Yehuda, the Omar Nami Kimas Nisan, Rebbe Yehuda, who seems to parallel the Mishnah, insofar as Rebbe Yehuda's version of Beis Hillel, for example, allows for Hachzorah, just like our Mishnah allows for Hachzorah in Beis Hillel. However, there still will remain a problem. The Masnisin Tiratsta, we explained the Mishnah, the Plukta Komaiso B'She'eno Goruf. We had explained the, and this was done at the top of this Omid, that the original Mach, the first Machlokes, was talking about an oven that had not been treated at all with Grufuk Tuma. V'Shoru Beis Shammai Chamen U'Beis Hillel Chamen V'Tavshil. And if you're taking the low Yitain is low Yachzir approach as far as Shihi is concerned, you would be allowed, according to Beis Shammai, to Bashe on an Eino Goruf Chamin, and according to Beis Hillel, Chamin and Tavshil. V'hocha Kotoni, and here, in this version, in the source that was presented in the Toshma number 3, it says, Ein mashin agavi shena gufa veina ktuma klal. That one cannot do shia whatsoever if it's eina grufa. Uplukta delishois begrufa viktuma. And the whole machlokis would be shia on a grufa uktuma type kira. So at this point in the Gemara, even though there, we just went through a great amount of detail, the bottom line is that it would be more convenient to learn the lo yitain, the need for grufa ktuma, for shehiya. The Gemara continues, li oilam emaloch lahachzir tanan. I will tell you that our Mishnah is in fact saying that you need grufa ktuma only for chazara, but for shehiya you don't need to do anything. The Tana didan savar lo k'Rabbi Yehuda b'chada upolig olei b'chada. And our Mishnah's author will hold like Rabbi Yehuda on one count, but argue with him on another count. And the Gemara spells it out. Savar lo k'Rabbi Yehuda b'chada. Our Mishnah will agree with Rabbi Yehuda on this point. B'chamin v'tafshil v'noitlin u'machzirin. That chamin and tafshil, we set up the machloikis beishame b'tzilel regarding the leaving on the Shia of Chamin and Tafshil, where Beis Shammai allows Chamin and not Tafshil, and Beis Hillel allows Chamin and Tafshil. That is not like Rabbi Meir, as Rashi points out, who said that according to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to be Masha anything. So, at least on this score, regarding the realm of Shehiya, our Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda are in conformity. The Gemara continues, Upolig olei b'chada. However, there is a point of machlokis between the author of our Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda. Di lutana didon sovar lishois v'af alpi she'eno goruf v'kotum. Our Tana goes further than Rabbi Yehuda and says that for Shehiya, we will allow, even if it hasn't been goruf v'kotum whatsoever. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Belisho Isnami, Goruf Ukotum in, Iloi Loi. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that even for Shehiya, you have to do Goruf Ukotum. And if it's not Goruf Ukotum, then no. So that at the end of the day, we are still going to learn the Mishnah in the spirit of Hananya, where the opening of the Mishnah said, when it said Lo Yitain, meant you are not to do Hachzora unless it was Goruf Ukotum. However, for Shehiya, our Mishnah will say you don't have to do anything. According to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that he would say even for Shehiya, you have to do Goruf Ukotum. The Gemara now asks a question within the general topic that we've been dealing with, but this is a new discussion. And on the side of the Gemara, you can see that we've indicated under our no say heading, Mahu Lismoich Eitzel Doifen Kira She'edeena Grufa. Can you place a pot next to a Kira that has not been scraped out? As in, or the coals haven't been treated as we've been discussing till now. This question would have to be tied in to the issue before of do you need grufa ktuma for shehiya as well as chazara or just for chazara? Tosfos deals with that in Dibur Masul Mahu Lismoich. So Tosfos says be'ena, the second to last Tosfos, Mahu Lismoich be'ena grufa kaboi. First of all, we're talking about the placing of a pot next to a kira that has not been goruf. V'imas nisin lishos tnan. If our Mishnah is lishos, meaning that you need to do grufa ktuma for shehiya, koboi lishos ulahachzir. Then the question of the Gemara here is: can you leave it and can you put it back next to? Can you put it back next to? V'lahachzir tnan. And if the Mishnah is learned in the lahachzir fashion, v'shori lishos afilu tocha v'gabo, boy, then, but as far as shehiyo is concerned, you're allowed to leave it, even inside of it and on it. Then the question is, boy, lahachsir, v'lishois, heichlo, she'eno, mevushol, kemaychol, ben drusoy. So then the question here, it's a new question, because as far as the shehiyah is concerned, if you take the lahachsir approach, then you can leave things even inside the oven. So then the question here is, can you put something lahachsir something next to or leave next to an oven food that has not been cooked even a third? That was something that we haven't discussed too much up till this point, but that would be a reasonable question. In other words, for Shia on top of or inside an oven of Michael that's not a third cook, that would not be allowed. But what about if you knock something down one level, whereby we're talking about leaving it next to the oven as opposed to on top of or inside? So Tosfos points out that this question of Lismoch can be asked according to both approaches that we've taken till the Mishnah till now. So now let's continue with the Mishnah, focusing on the issue of the position, namely next to. Ibayaloho, Mahu Lismoch Ba. Can you leave the food next to the Kira that has not been Goro Fukotum? Toicha Vegaba Osur. Granted that on top of or inside that would be forbidden. Avo lusmoich bo shapir domi, but next to it, it's a stage, it's a step down, so to speak. That would be allowed. Oi dilma loishna, or maybe we make no distinction. And just like we forbid dealing with an oven that's eno grufa toichan gabo, we will also forbid dealing with an oven that is Eino Grufo Ktumo in the Lismoch fashion. And then when we use the expression dealing with, we're trying to be diplomatic or uncommittal, noncommittal, and referring you back to the Tosfos. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form, and this is designed to help keep track of the give and take style of this section. And this is explained under the Mivneh heading. You can see in the margin where we have the house shape, and we've indicated that's ma'akav, an attempt to keep track with the point of the house facing upwards. We're saying mutter, meaning mutter lismoch. With the point facing downwards, we're trying to say osir. In other words, each time we'll try to bring a point of information in one direction and then reject it. So we continue. Toshma, shtei kiros hamatimois. Two ovens that are next to each other. And by the way, we saw this idea earlier in the Tanaic source that was quoted under number 3 in our previous sugya. So this might look a little familiar, this term. These are two kiros that were cemented together with a clay wall between them. Achas grufa uktuma, v'achas sheina grufa uktuma. One has grufa uktuma done to it, and the other not. Mashin al gabi grufa uktuma. You can leave things on top of the grufa uktuma, but not on the eno grufa. V'af al gav dekos solik le hevlo mi'idoch, even though heat is rising from the eno grufa uktuma. Now, this would sound like that lismoch is okay, because in effect, the pot is kind of like near the eno grufa uktuma. Smucha, we said before, was putting it next to. And this seems to be like that. The Gemara rejects this because the positioning of the pot here is not exactly like the case of next to in our question. In the case of next to, you have the kira, let's say, is sitting on the floor. And next to the kira, which is a, we said the kira is a box-shaped a utensil that contains coals. The pot would be sitting on the same floor, just but next to it. Here, the pot that is sitting on top of the grufa ktuma kira, where is the what is the positioning of the eino grufa relative to the pot? It's not exactly next to it. It's a diagonal descent. The pot's on top, and diagonally below it is the eino grufa. Well, therefore, dilma shiny hasam, the kevon de medallio, since the pot is high up, it's elevated vis-a-vis the ein agrufa, shalit bo avira. There is an additional mitigating factor, and that is the air that blows between the pot and the ein agrufa. And as a result of that, we can say that's reason for being more lenient. There's a greater distance, if you will, between the pot and the ein agrufa kira. We continue. Tal shma. Now, the fact that this house is positioned with the point facing down, this is in the direction of trying to show that it would be forbidden. Tal shma, the Omar Rav Safra, Omar Rav Chia. Kitmo v'nislapso, soinchino umekaymen oleo, v'notlin mimeno umachzirin lo. So this teaching, in the name of Rav Chia, speaks about an oven that was kitmo, that's the spreading of ash over the coals. It was kitmo and it got refired after you had scattered the ash over the coals. Somchin law. Now you'll notice with our markings we've dashed underlined this kitmo and somchin law, and it says also mikaymen oleha and notlin mimeno. We'll get back to those expressions later. Shma mino, we see from here that lismoich nami, that even for lismoch, even to be allowed to keep a pot next to the kira, kitmo in, lo kitmo lo, only if you had done the kitmo to it, but not if you had left it untreated. Well, in our original question, we had asked, can you be soimech to a kira that was ein agrufa uktuma? Here we see, no, you would not be allowed. Now, the Gemara rejects this, and that's why our house marking is repositioned with the point facing up. This, basically, as we've written above, the Gemara here is a dechia, a rejection of what we just said. Uletamech, according to you that are bringing a proof from Rabbi Chiyo's teaching, noitlin mimeno dekotoni. His teaching included the removal of a pot. He says, tell me something. For the removal of a pot, kitmo in, lo kitmo lo, the same introductory phrase would apply to that as well. In other words, are you telling me that in order to remove a pot, you're allowed to remove it only if ash was spread over the coals? Certainly not. That wouldn't make any sense. The removal of a pot can be done regardless of whether it was kitmo or lo kitmo. Elotona notlin, the Mishnah, or this teaching of Reb Chiya, says notlin mishum machzirin. It spoke about removal of the pot in order to teach the halacha of returning a pot. In other words, when does the issue of hachzora come up? That's when you remove the pot from a kira on Shabbos. Now the question is, can I put it back on? So in order to be able to teach the issue of putting it back on, you have to mention notlin. But the term notlin doesn't appear here in this Reb Chiya teaching because you needed to have done kitma for notlin. Well, just like notlin is taught here regardless of the kitma, hachana mitana somchin mishum mekaymen, so too it teaches somchin because it wants to teach you the halacha of mekaymen. Somchin is placing a pot next to, and mekaymen olel is putting it on top of. But as far as somchin itself, that would be allowed even if kitma was not done. So at this point in the Gemara, as we try to keep track of the flow, where the last marking we had was a house shape with the point facing up, we would be in the position of saying that smicha would be mutter. That's what the house shape with the point facing up indicates. But as we go on, notice the house shape flips over and says, "Hachi hashta." How can you compare what we've noted in our markings as section 2 of Rabbi Chiyo's teaching? How can you compare that to section Roman numeral number 1 of Rabbi Chiyo's teaching? They're very different. Hasam noitlin umachzirin b'chad mokoim hu. Therefore, tana noitlin mishum achzirin. In the case of noitlin, we can grant you there that noitlin is taught regardless of any kitma. But the word noitlin had to be taught because the only way to come to a situation of machzirin is if you had previously removed a pot. And then the question is, can I put it back on? So it uses the word notlin because it has to be taught as a lead up to machzirin. Elahacha. But regarding section 1 of Reb Chiyo's teaching, soimchin b'chad mokoim hu, umekaimin b'chad mokoim hu. Somchin is done next to the oven wall. Mekaimin is done on top of the oven. Therefore, you can't tell me that Somchin is taught in anticipation of Mekaimin. They're two separate actions. And therefore, as our last marking had indicated, the inverted house with the point facing down, as far as Somchin is concerned, for Somchin you will definitely need the Kitma in order to allow Somchin. My Havi Allah. Here the Gemara wants to know, after all, we've gone with this back and forth, volleying approach to this question. What is the halacha, though? Toshma. So we bring a source, and the direction of our house with the point facing up will indicate smicha will be allowed on an eno grufo tuma. The source says kira shisiku begefes ubeitzim soimchin la. A kira that was fired up with these materials, gefes and eitzim, you can leave pots next to it. The ein mekaimin Elohim ken grufo uktuma. But as far as leaving something on top of the oven, you'd have to do grufo uktuma for that. Before we go further in the source, there's a Tosfos at the end, Toshma, Kira Shisikua, Umasik. The conclusion is Deshori Lismoch, that one would be allowed to do Smicha even if it's not Gufur Tuma. The source continues, Gicholim Shamamu, O Shinosan Olao Nuris Shopishtan Daka, Are I Kiktuma. Gicholim, these are coals that died down, Amamu as they die down, or you scattered over them. Nu'uris shel pishtan. This is debris that is separated when you're combing or beating flax stalks in the manufacture of linens. So the nu'uris shel pishtan serves the same role as afer, and it would make it like ketuma if you use that material to scatter over the coals. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new discussion, and under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we've indicated with a double underline, we've highlighted names that represent approaches to Kit Kotma Vehuvara, where someone did Kituma, he scattered ash over the coals, but the coals got refired, they regained strength, if you will. Let us take note also of the numbering that we have. We have a diamond with a number 1 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and a number 2 will appear several lines down the top of Omid Beis. Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni Omar Rav Shaya Kotma V'Huvara Mashin Oleo Chamin Shuchmu Kol Tzorchon V'Tavshil Shebisho Kol Tzorchoi. So he is telling us that if you have an oven that you scattered ash over it and they got fired up, the coals got fired up anyway, so you can leave on it chamin hot water and food that have been completely cooked. Shma Mina. The Gemara here at the top of Omid Beis. Shma Mina. From this we can conclude. Mitztamek v'yofeloi mutter. Mitztamek v'yofelo is food as it, even though it's fully cooked, there's an additional cooking that makes the food even tastier. Literally shriveled up. Mitztamek is shriveled and it's better tasting. There are foods that are like that, that the longer they cook, even though once they've reached the point that they're fully cooked, but leaving them cooking longer improves their taste. Rashi explains quite a bit more than the translation we offered. Let's take a look at Rashi at the top. Mitztamek, mitzmait, means reduced. We said shrivels or shrinks. That's mitzmait v'kovitz. Rashi gives a French word for that. Loshon shadayim tzomkin, as the pasuk indicates. Kibo shatom loshon sivui nitztaveh. Here Rashi gets involved with a little bit of diktuk, explaining that the word, the tzadi, is positioned in the word before the tough. That's the way these kind of words are structured. We continue with Rashi on the third line from the top. Mutter lashoison bekira. It's mutter to leave these foods. This food that its improved taste continues to improve even though it's fully cooked. The ilobe mitztamek v'yofelo ko'amar. If we weren't coming to teach that point, my also lashminen, what would this teaching have been for anyway? So therefore we have to conclude that we're featuring this point that the continued cooking is good. And even so, they did not make a gzera that you might come to stoke the coals in order to achieve this greater taste. Hoyol v'nizbashel kol tzorcho. Since we're talking about food that was fully cooked, v'tana chamin lashmina d'bo'inon shilchmu kol tzorcho mibod yomen. It teaches chamin, the hot water, where there, in the case of the hot water, there is no continued improvement per se, but it's taught here to show you that you need it to have been fully cooked from Friday. So that what we're trying to show from this is that if you have something that's katma v'huvara, you can do shihiyah on it, even though it's mitztamek v'yofelo. So just to go over this point again, what are we trying to conclude? The Gemara had said, Shma mino mitztamek v'yofelo mutter. We could conclude that one would be allowed to do shihiyah on an oven, she'ena grufu ptuma, even though the continued cooking makes it taste better, and we're not choshesh, we're not concerned that you might come to stoke the coals. The Gemara continues and says, shiny hocha, you cannot conclude that you would be allowed to do shihiyah on an eina grufa in a case of mitztamek v'yofelo, because the kotma, you can see, and we highlighted this with our markings at the bottom of Omid Aleph, the beginning of the last line. You can see it said kotma, that it was covered over with ash, and as Rashi says, if the fact that you did kotma, it shows us that you're not interested in the tzibuki, in the continued cooking. And as a result of that, there is no chashash that you're going to come to do the chitui. But had you not done the kotma, we wouldn't allow, because there is a fear that you would come to stoke it. The Gemara asks, Ihochi mai lemeira? Well, if you're saying here it's different because he did the kotma, So then what do I have to tell you this for? That's obvious if you did karma, so she here will be mutter. The Gemara answers, Huv aro it's the richale. No, the same din that Rav Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni Omer Rabbo Shai was telling us also featured that it got fired up. Mahu detema, without his teaching, I would have thought kiva dehuva rohodrolo lemilsa kamaisa, that since it got fired up, it goes back to its original status of being eno grufa, or we say eno ketuma. Komash molon, so his chiddush is that since he initially did ketuma, it retains its status as ketuma, and only because of that are we going to allow mitstamik v'yofelo situation. But if you had not done the ketuma and you have food that's mitstamik v'yofelo, you cannot leave it on the kira because you might come to stoke the coals in order to achieve this mitstamik v'yofelo situation. Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yochanan. The very, very same type of halacha as we saw before of Rav Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni and Rav Hoshaya, he is teaching as well. There is an additional new point here, and he says even if the coals were roisem coals, roisem is a type of material, a type of wood that when burnt, it produces a very intensely hot coal. So the Gemara says, Shmamino, let's conclude from here, mitstamik v'yofelo mutter. Just like we said before, that from here you see that you're dealing with an oven that's fiery hot, and you're allowed to leave on it, mashinol, you can leave on it food, even though its continued cooking is going to improve its taste. The Gemara says, well, shiny hacha de katma. This is different. You can't conclude from here that an eino grufa situation would allow a mitstamik v'yafalo, because here he actually had done kitma to it. And as we said before, the katma shows us that he's not interested in the mitstamik v'yofelo, and therefore he won't come to stoke the coals to hasten the cooking process to achieve this its mitstamik v'yofelo. Well, if you're saying, you're emphasizing the fact that it was katma, so then what's the chiddush? It's obvious that such a thing would be allowed. The Gemara says, huvaro it's the richole. But the same din of Rabbi Yochanan teaches that it got fired up again, and that's a chiddush. Well, then, if that's the chiddush, hainu hach, well, it's the same as we taught in diamond number one. What do I need to have this din of Rabbi Yochanan taught when we already had Rabbi Shaya's teaching of the same thing? The Gemara answers, gecholim shel roisim it's dirichole. What the number two halacha adds is that this heter applies even if you're dealing with roisem coals, which are hotter, as we said, have produce a greater heat level than other coals, and they don't go out very quickly. But the point is that the katma that you've done is effective even for these to allow this kind of shihiyah. And that even in the case of gecholim shoroisem, the original katma that you did is effective even if it's huvara afterwards. But as far as to remind ourselves of the main point, we tried to conclude that mitstamik v'yofelo would be mutter on an eino grufa situation, even though there is a possible incentive to stoke the coals, and that would have been the heter. We are not going to conclude that from over here, because in these teachings we learned that he had done katma beforehand. That was a demonstration that he's not interested in the mitstamik v'yofelo, and as a result, he shows us that he himself has no incentive to stoke the coals. Omer of Sheshes, Omer of Yochanan, Kiro, she sikua begefes uve etzim. An oven that was fired up with the gefes material or wood. Mashin oleho chamin sheloi uchmu kol tzorchon v'tavshe shelo bishol kol tzorchoi. We have to add here that when he says mashin oleho, Rashi points out, even if he had not done kotma to it. Rashi also points out very importantly that Rav Sheshes is quoting Rav Yochanan. Before, we had seen, for example, Rabba Bar Chana quoting Rav Yochanan, and at the end of that discussion, we pointed out that Rav Yochanan had required kotma. Here you have Rav Yochanan saying that you don't have to have kotma in order to allow shihiyah. So Rashi says that this is Amoroi Ninu Alibo de Rabbi Yochanan, different Amoroyim, the different versions of Rabbi Yochanan. So as not to ask a question from this Rabbi Yochanan teaching on that which we saw before, there's simply different opinions as to what Rabbi Yochanan really said. Nevertheless, Rav Sheshes is saying that you can do Shihiyah on an Eino Grufa, even if the hot water or the food has not been fully cooked. Okar lo yachsir ach yigroif o ach yitain efer. However, if you remove the pot from the fire, you cannot put it back on until you do grufa or ktuma. Kosovar, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, masnisin lahachsir tanan, that the Mishnah that said lo yitain ach yigroif really means lo yachzir, that in order to allow hachzora, you have to do grufa or ktuma. Avalisho yismashin afopi sheino. But for Shihiyah, you don't need to do Grufa or Ktuma. This approach is similar to what we had seen on when we did the previous daf, and we had our triangles going in both directions. This would be in the approach of the of where the triangle had been inverted with the point facing down, trying to show that the whole need for Grufa or Ktuma was just to allow Hachzorah. But Shihiyah, you don't have to deal with the coals at all. The Gemara now asks a question. We just learned Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Rova, Travayu Tanini, what do I need Rabbi Yochanan's teaching for? Both have been taught already in Tanaic sources. And notice the question itself lasts a number of lines, hence we have a long question marking the kuf that you see encircled to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, and descending vertical dashed line shows you that these lines form the question. We also have used diamonds to highlight the sources, the upcoming sources that make Rabbi Yochanan's din seemingly redundant or extraneous, where we already have this information taught. So the Gemara says, "Lishois tanina ein noisin es apas besoich atanur im chashecha lo charor agabi gecholim." One cannot put bread in an oven right before Shabbos sets in, nor a loaf on coals elo kidei shikru ponea, unless they achieved a crust, so that, or unless there's enough time for them to achieve a crust. Now that's not fully baked. If it starts crusting, so then it would be allowed to be set up that way. In other words, we are allowing shihiyah. What exactly happens here? He puts bread, let's say a clump of dough in an oven. Enough time, if you say it takes 10 minutes for it to start to crust, so be it. So he put it 10 minutes before the onset of Shabbos. The completion of the baking is going to take place through Shabbos. So we're allowing Shihiyah, and it says here the coals are here. He didn't do Gufuk Tuma. So we're allowing Shihiyah on Eino Gufuk Tuma, even though it's not Mizbashel Kol Tzorchoi. So we have this information in the Tanaic source. I don't really need Rabbi Yochanan to teach me that. Lahachzir Nami Tanina. We also have Rabbi Yochanan's Hachzoradin. Beis Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin. Beis Hillel says you're allowed to do Hachzora. V'ad Kan Lo Koshoro Beis Hillel B'Gufuk Tuma. Up till now, we made it very clear that for Hachzorah, only if it's Goro for Kotum, will we allow it. Avobisheno Grufok Tuma lo. But if you didn't do Grufok Tuma, then you wouldn't be allowed to be machzir. So the question is, what do I need Rav Sheshes for? What's Rav Sheshes is teaching, where he quoted Rabbi Yochanan? Before we go on in the Gemara, Rashi is across from here, V'ad kan lo sharu demasnisen ala achar shigrof koi. The Mishnah that speaks about achzora is talking about a case where grufa was done. Dikotoni lo yitain ad shigrof. It says lo yitain until you do grufa. Ubein lemandamar lo yisha, bein lemandamar lo yasim, mikomokam chazora de seifa agora fikotu mahadir. According to all different approaches of learning the Mishnah, when it comes to Chazora, everyone agrees that you will need to have Gorufu Kotum done. So the Mishnah is clear that for Chazora you have to do Gufuk Tuma. So what do I need Rabbi Yochanan's, Rav Sheshes Amar Rabbi Yochanan's Din Beis for, that we have noted above under our little Beis letter? The Gemara answers, Rav Sheshes Nami Diyuka Demasnisin Komash Molon. Glancing at the Rashi, Rav Sheshes Nami Diyuka Demasnisin Komash Molon Mishum Delo Masni La Behedya. Our Mishnah did not say, the Mishnah did not say explicitly Ha Karmu Shori, that if the bread developed a crust, it would be allowed. It didn't say that explicitly. All it said is that it says you can't put it in the oven before Shabbos unless a crust developed. But it didn't say, but if the crust developed, it would be allowed. The Anan de Mashinon Kider Agabi Kiyur. Rashi here now goes into a psak level presentation, and it's very interesting. So let's continue learning it together. And the Anan de Mashinon Kider Agabi Kiyur Shene Gufo. Rashi says our practice is to leave pots on stove tops where the coals have not been scraped away. What is the basis of our leniency? Adechananyo samchinon. We are relying on Hananyo's approach. Hoyolu tnan stam masnisin kavosei. Since we have an unnamed Mishnah, the stam Mishnah is something that carries with it a great deal of legal weight. Kidomar ha kormu shori, as we inferred that if it was kormu, if the bread crusted, you see this section of this source speaking about the ein noisness of paspitano is a Mishnah that has no name associated with it, so it's a stam Mishnah, and the inference was that if it developed a crust, it would be allowed. The afagav de lo bisho kol sorcho, even though it's not fully baked. The Omar Rav Sheshes Mishmei de Rav Yochanan Kavosei, and Rav Sheshes and Rav Yochanan also goes like that. The Masnisin de Pirkin Mishum Chazora Hu de Boy Grufa. Our Mishnah is saying that you need Grufa only for Chazora, Avolishos Lo. The Cholhani Amoroi de Asri, any Amora that you saw that forbids Shion on an Eino Grufa, they are Savri Masnisin Lishoisnan. They take the approach that the Mishnah that says Lo Yitein Ad Shigrof is means Lo Yisheh. But we, says Rashi, follow the approach that Lo Yitein of the Mishnah is Lo Yachzir, unless Grufuk Tuma was done. But for Shia, even without Grufuk Tuma, would be okay. We continue in the Gemara. Omer of Shmuel Bar Yud Omer of Yochanan. Kiro Shisikua Begefes of Eitzim. Mashin oleo tavshil shebishel kol tzorchoi v'chamin shuchmu kol tzorchon v'afilu mitstamek v'yofeloi. It's important to note, as we did already, that we're seeing Rabbi Yochanan quoted by different Amoroyim, and we already mentioned that there were different versions as to what Rabbi Yochanan really holds. So here we have an example of a Rabbi Yochanan teaching that Shihia on an Eino Grufa is allowed only if it's Bishel Kol Tzorchoi. But he does, which would appear to be a bit more strict than the previous, the Rav Sheshes version of Rabbi Yochanan. However, there is an element of allowance here, and that is even if it's Mitzdamik V'yofeloi. Even though the continued cooking improves it, the main requirement is that it reached Bishul Kol Tzorchoi. Once it reaches Bishul Kol Tzorchoi, we're not afraid that you'll be Mechate B'Gecholim in the case just to achieve the Mitzdamik V'yofeloi. Omar lei hahumer abonan Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Ha Rav Shmuel de Amri Trevayim Mitzdamik V'yofelo Oser. But these two great authorities, Rav and Shmuel, say that if you have, it's a mitzdamik v'yofalo situation, we will not allow shihiyah on an eino grufa. Omar lei, so Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda says back, otu lesano yoda, the Omar Rav Yosef from Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, mitzdamik v'yofaloi osir. You think I'm not aware of that? Where you see with Shmuel, I know, you know, as I know that Rav Yosef Kor Rav Yehuda is saying Shmuel's halacha is misafilos osir, ki ko amin aloch, my teaching, Rabbi Yochanan Kamino, I said my teaching in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan is more lenient. Omale Rav Ufa Mimeshan L'Ravashi Atun Demikravisu L'Ravu Shmuel Avidu K'Ravu Shmuel. You, who are close to the areas that were ruled over, if you will, or under the leadership of Rav and Shmuel, so you have to follow their approach, and that's the chumrah that mitzdamik v'yofalo is going to be osir in an eino grufa situation. Anan navid k'Rabbi Yochanan, but we who are near where Rabbi Yochanan had his authority, we will rule leniently. Omale Abaye the Rav Yosef, Mahu Lishois. Abaye asked Rav Yosef, is one allowed to do Shihiyah on a Kira that's Eino Grufa? Omale Ha Rav Yehuda Mashule Viochil. Rav Yehuda allowed Shihiyah on an Eino Grufa and ate the food. Omale Bar Mine de Rav Yehuda. You can't prove anything from Rav Yehuda. The Mesukon who, he was in danger. He was very sick. Afilu b'Shabbos nami shori l'mevadlei. Even on Shabbos, one would be allowed to have cooked up food for him. Rashi says Mesukon hu rogil loich so bumus. He was oftentimes overcome with a feeling of bumus. A feeling of a very intense need to eat something, and without that, v'tzorach le'chol ma'chol mosoik v'toiv, and as a result, he would have to eat something very sweet and good, and that intense feeling of ravenousness would have pushed him to a point of sakon, of danger, where we would be allowed to prepare food for him on Shabbos day itself. Leave a lochma. What about for people like us? Abaye says to Rav Yosef. Omale, Besura, Mashu, Rav Yosef says, in Surah they would do Shihiyah on an Eino Grufa. The Hor of Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Mori de Uvdahave, he was a person very careful in his observance of mitzvahs, umashu lev yochil, and he would eat food that was left on a stove that was eino grufa ptuma, and we see from that it would be allowed. Omar of Ashi, koimno kamei de Rav Huna v'shoyin lekosu daharson of ochal. I was in the presence of Rav Huna, and I know that they did shihiyah of kosu daharsona. This is a food item that's made of fish that's fried in a flour batter, and they left that on the stove on Shabbos, and he ate from it. The loyodano, and I'm not sure, imishum de kosover mitstamik v'yofalo muter. Does he hold that even though it's mitzvah for yofalo, it's okay. Imishum, or possibly given the ispei mecha, since this particular food item has flour in it, it's really not a good example of mitzvah for yofalo, mitzvah for ralohu. So that was his doubt. All that Rav Ashi then is reporting, he's saying, I saw the mashe kosa daharsana for Rav Huna, and he ate it, but I'm not sure what conclusion we can reach from that incident. Omar of Nachman, mitstamik v'yofaloi osir, mitstamik v'raloi mutter. So Rav Nachman takes a more strict approach and says that mitstamek v'yofalo is forbidden. Klola demilsa. The rule is as follows. Kol di'is bei mecha mitstamek v'ralo. All food items that have flour in them, once they've reached their full preparedness, continued cooking or continued exposure to the heat is not good for it. Labar mitafshil the lifta, with the exception of lifta food item. Rashi, let's continue in the Gemara. The afalgav the is bein meicha mitstamek v'yofelo hu, with the exception of the lifta vegetable prepared with flour. The mitstamek v'yofelo there, the mitstamek, the continued cooking would be yofelo. Vahani mili, when do we say it's yofe? The is bei bisra, that there's meat in that dish as well. Avales bei bisra, mitstamek v'ralo hu. This tafshil delifta that doesn't have meat cooking together with it, the continued cooking would in fact be no good. V'chi is bei bisra nami, lo amoron, elo delo kerboi, lo leorchin. The observation that with the meat in there, its continued cooking is good, this is true only if you are serving it to your household and you don't need to serve it to guests. Avol koboi lo laorchim, mitstamek v'ra loy. However, if you are intending to serve this particular dish, this lifta prepared with flour and meat in there, and your intention is to serve it to guests, the continued cooking of it is not good because the portions will appear to be much smaller. They shrivel up as the continued cooking takes place. And as Rashi says, "Ein derech kovud b'tavshim mitstamek," where the food is, where the meat is so shriveled up into small pieces that it's not something that is honorable to serve guests. Lifta, daisa v'tamri, three food items that are featured here in the Gemara. The lifta, Rashi says, maichos she'oisa mita'inim. It's a food dish prepared with figs. Tamri, as the name implies, it's a food prepared with dates. Daisa is something associated with a type of, with a cereal or a grain porridge type thing. These kind of foods, mitstamek v'ra lahen, leaving them on the fire for continued cooking is not good once they've reached their bishul kol sorcho level. Bo minei me Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. The Gemara continues at the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Shochach kedeiro al gabi kira ubishlo b'shabes mahu. The question was asked of Rav Chiya bar Abba, if a person forgot a pot on a kira and it continued cooking through Shabbos, what would the din be? Now, before we can continue in the Gemara, we must point out, Rashi says, Shocha kedera aliba mand osar, according to the opinion that says that that for shehiya, you need to have garuf ukotum, and if you have eino garuf ukotum, it would be forbidden to do shehiya. So according to that approach, this question is asked, well, what's the din if a person forgot and actually left it on there? Tosfos at the top, shochach kedera gabi kiro bishlo b'shabes mahu, afogav de kaimelon kechananya, even though we hold like Chananya, even though we paskin like Chananya, that for shehiya you don't have to do anything, so that if you left it on the kira and it got and it cooked through Shabbos, then there's no question to be asked. It's fine. Hocha boy, here the question is b'dalo boshim k'maychol ben drusoi, where it hadn't reached a third of its cooking level, the moide be Chananya, where Chananya himself concedes that you would not be allowed to be mashe something that had not reached that level. So the question is asked, Ishtik velo omarle velo midi. Rav Chiya bar Abba remained silent and didn't answer. L'machar nafak darash lehu. The next day, Rabbiya came out and explained and lectured. Hamavashel b'Shabbos b'shogeg yochal b'mezid lo yochal v'loy shna. The Mishnah teaches that one who cooks on Shabbos, if he did so unwittingly, like is implied by the word shochach, so you can eat it. If it was done intentionally, you cannot eat it. Velo shna. Now, what is that? Velo shna means and it doesn't make a difference. My velo shna. What does that term mean? So, you see here with our markings, we have number one, Rabbah and Rav Yosef. They explain in one direction. And later on, you can see we've also marked with number two, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and he will explain something, he'll explain this in another direction. But in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiur, this will be an appropriate place to pause, and Amir Sashem, next time we will pick up with this particular point. So with this, we conclude our Shiur for today.